The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What if a pastor substitutes the words repent and trust for believe? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. I am Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. We're currently taking questions from listeners just like you. If you've got questions you'd like Bob or Sean to take a stab at, why don't you send us an email? radio@faithalone.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, are you guys ready to think about your faith, talk about your faith, question your faith, get answers to those questions? That's what we're here for, to discuss the Bible and theology with you. I was just reading the other day, I think it's in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, where Paul says that we need to encourage each other and we need to build each other up. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. And I think the New American Standard is to build up and to encourage. He's not talking about, you know, complimenting each other's new haircut or, you know, complimenting it, saying, hey, wow, yeah, that's, I love that belt or I love those shoes. That's not the type of encouragement he's talking about. He's talking about doctrinal encouragement, right? Because the Thessalonians were doubting about, worrying about what would happen to the people who died before Jesus returned. And Paul comforted them with doctrine. And that's what the Christian community is supposed to be, a place where you speak the faith and you encourage each other up with doctrine, renewing our minds and encouraging each other with biblical truths.
Yeah.
But in order to do that, you actually need to get past the Sunday morning pleasantries about how kids are doing at school and all that stuff and actually talk about the faith with each other.
That's what we do here.
All right, here's a question from Carl. And Carl says, my wife and I found a church that we really love and that we've connected with this past year, but there are a few things that the pastor says all the time that kind of rub me the wrong way. I've been listening to your podcast and reading your online articles and newsletter and watching the YouTube videos for the last 3 years, and he says, you guys have helped solve so many questions for me. Anyhow, our pastor and assistant pastor on staff constantly say, repent and trust instead of believe when they're teaching, and it really bothers me. I've even heard our pastor say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever repents and trusts in Christ has everlasting life. I want to send him an email to ask why they use this phraseology instead of the simple word believe, but I don't know exactly what to say. Any help would be appreciated.
Yeah, Carl, I would send that exact email. It does. That's a terrific email. You can cut out the part about talking about us. But it seems to me the problem is, and this is a widespread problem in evangelicalism, is that people have a problem with the word believe.
Yeah.
Don Bungie, who is a Awana missionary, he wrote a book, Whatever Happened to the Word Believe.
Yeah.
It's odd to me that John 3:16 clearly says whoever believes in him, and yet people want to change that. Now, I really doubt the pastor and associate pastor are literally saying, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever repents and trusts in him shall not perish, but has everlasting life.
That's what he said. He said, I heard him say it once.
I would be shocked. But the thing is, I think it's more likely what Carl's saying is they would quote it as it actually says in the text and then say, now what the word believe means is
right.
Repent and trust in Jesus. But if they did do that, I mean, that's really not that wildly different than saying, okay, it says believe, but that's not what it means.
Mm-hmm.
What it means is you got to commit, you got to obey, you got to persevere, and you even turn from your sins. And so what Carl should do is just express his love for the church, his love for the solid teaching other than this, and then point out, but when you're evangelizing and when you're saying what we must do to be born again, if you're going to go away from the biblical teaching, I'm not comfortable staying. How about just reading John 3:16 as it is?
Yeah.
And leave it at that. Or say that the word believe means to be persuaded, means to be convinced.
Right.
And so hopefully the pastor and the associate pastor are open. And if they are, Carl, what you might do is give them some of our blogs. Give them some of our podcasts.
Right.
Point them to some of the articles on our website, faithalone.org. You could even print out some of the articles and give it to them, or give them our magazine. Our magazine's free.
Sure.
We'd be happy to send it to them.
Sure.
not everybody has thought these issues through. And so it's possible the pastor and the associate pastor are just repeating what they found culturally within their denomination.
I mean, that's just Christianese, right? I mean, you just hear repent, trust, all that kind of stuff. You don't even realize that you're saying it. It just kind of comes out. I was listening to a pastor who knows Zane Hodges and knows the books, and I still hear him slip into this whole, you know, you got to trust in Jesus, or, you know, adding repentance alongside faith as a condition of salvation. And I'm pretty sure if you stop them and actually ask them, okay, are you saying that it's not enough to believe, you really need to do these other things? They would say, oh, no, that's not what I meant at all. But they need it pointed out, right? Carl, be gentle about it and just mention them, hey, how come you don't just stick with believe, or why do you want to add these? Maybe ask, make it a question instead of an accusation.
And I think another thing to keep in mind is this. Let's say that Carl wins over his pastor and associate pastor,
yeah,
and they become clear on this issue.
Yeah.
Well, then he's not just influencing two people. He's influencing hundreds and thousands of people, because those two influence everybody who is either a member of the church or a visitor at the church.
Right.
I would encourage every one of you to share the message of faith alone in Christ alone for everlasting life. Share that message not just with people who claim to be unbelievers or claim to believe in work salvation, but share that message with evangelicals who say they believe in justification by faith alone, but then end up and don't believe in justification by faith alone by all the other stuff they throw in.
Right.
If you can talk with such a person, if they're open, well, what happened to Carl is going to happen to them.
Yeah.
Carl says over the course of 3 years, he has been influenced by this teaching he's seen. Well, mm-hmm. I know that's what happened to me. I mean, it's not like somehow, you know, I was sitting out in a forest and suddenly the clouds parted. I saw a vision of the Lord and the Lord gave me free grace theology.
Right, right.
No, I came to faith through the ministry of Campus Crusade for Christ, and the person who led me to faith in Christ, Warren Wilkie, Warren shared Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 with me over and over and over again, and I finally got it. And then when I went to Dallas Seminary, I came under the influence of Zane Hodges, and my theology was sharpened. It was clarified. I learned many passages I didn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
I came to free grace theology both through my new birth, but also later through subsequent training.
Mm.
And so I'm indebted to the people who came before me. And the same thing is true with all of us. It's not like this just hits us like a thunderbolt out of the sky. God uses people. That's right. What is Romans 10:14, I guess, says? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Right.
And how shall they hear without a preacher?
Mm-hmm.
In most cases, God uses humans to lead other humans to the truth. And as you started this podcast, we're to encourage one another with doctrine, right?
Right, right. Absolutely. Encourage your pastors with maybe some thoughts. In fact, I have a YouTube video that came out recently. What does it mean to believe in Jesus? And I talk about some of these issues, and that's maybe a 5 minutes well spent for the associate pastor or the pastor to watch and just think through these issues. All right, here's another question. This one is from Noah. He says, I thought I'd share an interesting article, and it's an article about Pope Francis on justification. And he says, at one point when discussing justification by the law, the Pope says that we're not under the law, but rather, quote, the demanding lifestyle of the gospel, end quote. Then he rounds out with, quote, do I disregard the commandments? No, I observe them, but not as absolutes, because I know that what justifies me is Jesus Christ, end quote. What a puzzling, unclear view of justification. I'd imagine that he believes that he will only be justified by Jesus Christ if he's able to maintain the demanding lifestyle that he mentioned earlier. However, you could give the last statement the benefit of the doubt and speculate if the Pope is saved. I just thought that was interesting. And I guess the question here for Noah is, if someone says we're not justified by the commandments, but we're justified by Jesus Christ, is that saving faith?
Well, Noah, here's the thing. To say we're justified by Jesus Christ is the same as saying we're justified by God.
Yeah.
Right, but what do we have to do to be justified by God?
Yes.
That statement doesn't tell us how Jesus Christ justifies.
Yeah.
Right? And when I say it's the same as saying justified by God, Jesus Christ is God, God the Father is God, God the Holy Spirit is God. And you could say I was justification typically is a work of God the Father.
Yeah.
He's the one that typically does the justifying. Regeneration is a work of the Holy Spirit, as we see in Scripture. But the point is, what do we need to do? From, I don't know, the Catholic Church is in a lot of theological turmoil now. I think the Pope may be a universalist from some of the statements I've seen.
Yeah, the traditional Catholic friends I have are not fans of the current Pope for many reasons.
Right? Yeah,
but so I guess your point is maybe all the Pope is saying, hey, a law doesn't have any power to justify me. Jesus justifies me. But he's not explicitly denying that Jesus justifies on the basis of our performance.
Right.
Right.
However, I'm not so sure that he doesn't think that every religion in the world is a saving religion.
Right.
And even atheism and agnosticism ultimately are saving philosophies.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but I would be very careful to try to say that the Pope believes X, Y, or Z. He seems like he comes out with lots of things, and I would want to have a lot of quotes from him before I... You have one quote from one homily.
I mean, every work salvation person would say that, quote, what justifies me is Jesus Christ. Every
right.
work salvation person would say that. The question is, on what basis?
Right.
Is it by faith apart from works, or is it faith plus works, or is it, you know, your best efforts, or what is it?
And former Catholic Brennan Manning believed in justification by Christ, but he believed that everyone was going to be justified
right.
by Christ.
Right.
And there is at least a stream within Catholicism that's universal,
right.
that believes in universalism.
I mean, at least they're looking towards Christ for that, as opposed to someone else,
yeah.
you know? But there needs to be more info before we can make a decision like that or a judgment like that. Well, thank you, Noah. Thank you, Carl. Be like Carl. Go check out our blogs, check out our newsletters, check out our podcast, check out all the resources we have, which you can find at faithalone.org.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to learn more from Dr. Bob and Sean and the other guests that we have on this show? If so, you can do exactly that by going to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. It's packed with all kinds of materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. A great example is our daily blog posts. You can get signed up for free, and every day a new post will show up in your inbox. Go to faithalone.org. This radio show is made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. If you'd like to become a financial partner with this show, you can go to faithalone.org and find out exactly how to do just that. Do you have a question for Sean or Bob? I know that I've often had questions for them. If you do, I want to give you our email address so that you can reach out to us to ask that burning question. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about persecution and how we should respond to it. So, tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.